Hey, 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 and welcome to The Political Show right here on Active FM. Radio has never been better. I'm your girl Cynthia, but you know you can call me Gix. And with me in studio we have
Gavin Ensland.
Pastor Gavin Ensland, right here on The Political Show, where Christ politics is
hot politics.
Hot politics. And this week's hot politics, we are re-looking at a situation that happened on the 16th of December, 2025. It is one of the situations that we have to deal with here in South Africa in terms of whether you're a whistleblower, whether you are speaking out against the corruption in this nation and stuff like that. And that was the shooting or the murder of Warwick Stock, also known as DJ Warris. And he was shot in broad daylight outside a building near Carlton Center here in Johannesburg CBD. Pastor Gav, do you want to give a more brief explanation?
Yeah, so DJ Warris was a famous DJ. He was on radio stations in South Africa like YFM and 5FM and others. And so he became very well known. He was a celebrity DJ. And then he ventured into the world of security. So, you know, security is big business in South Africa due to the very high crime rate. And in addition to that, he also became a podcaster and started expressing opinions, you know, on political stuff. And yeah, so he got involved in a process to sort out buildings they call hijacked. And what a hijacked building is that people come and they take over a building that's owned by someone else.
Yeah.
So they literally hijack. Like if you hijack a plane, the plane belongs to someone else and then you bring it under your control. So they hijacked buildings, and then the people who hijack the buildings now take rent and stuff from the people living in the building. And obviously all of the city bylaws regarding power connections and water connections and all of those sorts of things get broken. The building ends up in a very unhealthy state, and you know, so all sorts of problems come from there. And there are something like 200 of his buildings in the Johannesburg Central Business District.
Mm.
So DJ Warris was actually with his security company. He was starting to build a blueprint where a building owner would hire his company to go and to clean out the building.
Mm.
And he was on podcasts, you know, in the last month or two of his life, talking about what they were doing and stuff. And then people came up and shot him.
Yeah.
You know, on CCTV cameras for everyone to see.
Mm.
And the question is not who pulled the trigger, because it was a hit. It looked very much like a hit. But who sent the men who pulled the trigger and why?
Yeah, so that is what we're going to be discussing. It's going to be an interesting show, as always, right here on The Political Show, where Christ politics is
hot politics.
Hot politics.
We help distributors grow their sales by over 15% in the first 90 days with our automated mobile software solution. RapidTrade is used by over 16,000 users worldwide, and we process over 120,000 transactions per day on both iOS and Android. From app ordering and management to e-commerce and even van sales, or electronic proof of delivery, we've got your business covered. Call us for a demo on 011-493-9755 or email us at sales@rapidtrade.com. Go on, make your customer a happy one today by getting onto RapidTrade.
So, like we spoke in the beginning, Warwick Stock, also known as DJ Warris, was shot and killed in broad daylight on the 16th of December near Carlton Center in Johannesburg CBD. He was lured downstairs by a phone call from someone. According to the reports, he appeared to trust and was attacked moments after exiting the building. And CCTV footage shows three suspects, one armed and one dressed in a security-like uniform. His firearm, wallet, and phone were not taken, confirming that the killing was not a robbery but a targeted hit. DJ Warris had been working through his private security company at a residential building involved in a court-ordered eviction where tensions were high. He had received multiple threats prior to his death and had obtained five protection orders against known individuals. and police believe a price may have been put on his head, possibly linked to his work or his outspoken views. DJ Warris was known for speaking against corruption, like Pascal mentioned earlier, crime and criminal syndicates in South Africa. So the question that we're looking at is, who made the phone call that lured him outside? Why someone dressed like security was involved, and who stood to benefit from his silence? So when you look at the death, a lot of people have been speaking, and when you look at his death, it's framed as a possibly resembling the silence of a whistleblower, not a random, not random violence. And specific focus is given to the water tanker mafia, where infrastructure is allegedly sabotaged to create crises to profit from emergency contracts. So what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, the emergency contracts are where water doesn't work. Your taps run dry. And I think in America they call them a faucet.
Mm.
But then what happens is that the government pays for a water tanker to, you know, that's a truck with a big tank of water on the back to go and provide water for the community that hasn't got water. And there's an inordinate amount of money that is paid for each trip, if you know what I'm saying. So in other words, there are criminal elements that are actually making money, you know, from this whole exercise.
Yeah.
So that's one of the things he mentioned on the Peño show. We spoke about Peño recently with the, you know, towards the end of last year with the Palestinian. The Palestinians that came in illegally, broke all the regulations for South Africa. These Palestinian refugees fly off across the world to get, to flee the genocide of the Gaza Strip.
Yeah. So what are your thoughts on the overall situation with obviously the hijacked buildings and looking at the whole thing? With the Matlanga Commission and the Zamazamas and all of these whistleblowers and people speaking out against the corruption in South Africa just being taken out one at a time and stuff like that. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, one of the questions that I have, I mean, obviously you've got the Matlanga Commission. So we've obviously had a lot of discussions about General Mkhwanazi, you know, and all of that stuff. But a question that's lingering in my mind. First of all, you know, DJ Warris came out openly in support of General Mkhwanazi. All right, he came out because the kind of and I know why, because the kind of things General Mkhwanazi was talking about is the kind of things ordinary everyday South Africans see. They see dockets going missing. That all the stuff he said, they see. Now, what my question is why have so few people that were implicated by the revelations of General Mkhwanazi been arrested? Now, obviously, DJ Warris himself, and I'm just going to talk about what I've seen from face value. It seemed like he had a passion, you know, for the inner city of Johannesburg and wanted to clean out buildings and create a model that could then be replicated throughout the city. He was open. He was a businessman. He was a capitalist. And, you know, once he's got the model, he's got something that can be replicated. And he's then going to make money because people are going to contract him to get these buildings back. Now, if the situation is as it appears to me, and I'm saying it appears to me because I don't know DJ Warris. I know that a lot of his views were pretty similar to mine, but those were views that he espoused. So if he was doing, you know, what he was doing, then this is a huge, huge loss to the Republic of South Africa. It's it's a massive loss because we need people like him who can think and people who are not just looking for handouts and things like that. And then this, and at the same time, on the other side, we don't know if he himself was involved in criminal activity or not. I'm not saying he was. I'm saying we don't know. So if he was involved in criminal activity, then there could have been a reason there that he was shot that we do not know about. But I mean, the police even came out within hours saying that they got CCTV footage and there were three guys and there was one with dreadlocks and he shot, you know, Warwick Stock. And so nothing was taken from him. I don't even know if they took his firearm.
It says that they didn't.
Yeah, they didn't even take his file. That's a hit.
Yeah.
You know, I've heard of hits before. That looks like a hit. The guys come, they shoot him, and they run. The question is, there's those, you know, these so-called security cameras, which is supposed to be put up there to solve crime. This guy was shot in the full view of those HD quality cameras.
Exactly, yeah.
So what is the point of the cameras, other than to track law-abiding citizens? Mm. It didn't help DJ Warriors. And, you know, then I'm also wondering, you know, if they see the guys, you know, why does it always take so long for there to be arrest?
Exactly.
And I'm looking also at Witness D.
Mm.
Right? Why? The guys that shot him were also caught on CCTV camera.
Mm.
And I'm pretty sure that the police would very easily be able to find out who shot Witness D.
Yeah.
I don't think it would take, you know, the best investigators to find that out. And then the question comes in South Africa, yeah, you've got all of these situations, but time after time after time after time, what happens is there's no arrest. There's no justice.
Mm.
No one goes to jail. Mm. The people who do go to jail have done very small things. And, you know, so we need Jesus.
Yeah, no. I think with me, the thing is, where do we draw the line? I mean, if we know our nation to be the nation that it is here in South Africa, at some point, the citizens will draw the line with all of these killings and stuff like that, and start taking matters into their own hands.
No, that happens.
Yeah,
we already have incidences where you've got gangsters terrorizing communities in South Africa. The communities turn around somewhere along the line and kill them.
Yeah, somewhere along the line, they just like
they just die.
Yeah,
and you know, no one's going to tell you it was because it was the whole community.
Mm, that's exactly, because I remember watching.
Everyone's going to say, "Hang on, I don't know what happened."
Looking at one of the comments from the video that she sent on YouTube, and one of the comments was, "It's time for us to take matters into our own hands," because already they don't trust the police, and then now you're having all of these people being killed by what it looks like because they're speaking out against what's this corruption and stuff. And at some point, the South African community is going to be like, it's enough is enough. And that then, you know, we don't know how it's going to look like, but we've seen it. When South Africans come together and say that enough is enough, that they actually stop the things. I mean, we have the riots that happened in 2021 where the communities came together and say that, listen, this is enough. And there's so many other examples of that with the lockdowns as well. When the community say that, we are done with lockdowns. The government couldn't, the communities down and stuff. No. So that's just my
thing.
Well,
when they tried in 2020, I mean, they tried sending the army into the Alexander Township.
Yeah.
Just to the north of Johannesburg.
Yeah.
And there was a guy then that was killed, beaten to death by the army guys.
Mm.
And it wasn't on the media. The media did not report, but Alexander went up in flames.
Mm.
And, you know, they had to withdraw the army.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, and, you know, the army covered up for the officers who did this.
Mm. Exactly that. So, yeah, so my thing is, where do we draw the line in terms of protecting the South African citizens to cover up all of these crimes and all of this corruption? And, I mean, he had 5 protection orders. 5 protection orders is a lot. I don't know how the protection order works. No,
protection
like
order
that.
Just for those, especially those who might not be in South Africa. You can go to a court and you can say, this person is threatening my life. And you can get a court order that person must stay away from you.
Mm.
That if they come within a certain distance of you, that, you know, they can. That's a crime.
Mm.
It's violating a court order to stay away.
Okay.
So he took out protection orders against people that were threatening him, even on X, you know, platforms like X and that. Yeah. So, yeah, what is a protection order going to mean with people that have absolutely and utterly no regard for the law?
Exactly. And in Psalm 34, verse 19, it says, "The righteous person may have many troubles, but the Lord delivers him from them all."
Yeah, and that is the important thing, you know, as we're starting out a new year, and we, you know, even for our church, we're in a time of fasting and things like that. What is very, very important is that we sit down and we analyze. Where does real security come from? I mean, one of the things we're seeing now that places like United States and Europe, please don't expect your security to come from your government, because even if the government cracks down and gets the situation under control, the reality is you're trusting that the government themselves are good. And that's very seldom the case throughout human history.
Yeah.
The only hope that there is for a mass revival to take place. The American Republic, you know, for the United States of America, was founded by men that were deeply influenced by the Christian Bible. And that's why they came up with a system of checks and balances. And even when the same thing happened, you know, because free speech and the separation of powers and all of that actually originated in Great Britain. And that was also, you know, there was a nation that was thinking in a very godly manner. There was the Wesleyan revival and the Presbyterian revival that took place, you know, in England and Scotland. And then there was also massive Welsh revival. And what happened was that these things altered the course of history in the United Kingdom. Because things would not have ended up peacefully there had it not been for this. And what I'm saying to you is, that if you want your nation to come right, you've got to lead people to Jesus.
Yeah.
Because when a critical mass is reached and enough people, you know, find their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, then what happens is that the nation changes.
Yeah.
Because people that find Christ change.
Amen. Amen. Yeah, so that is it for this week's show. It has been amazing. Let us know your thoughts in terms of this whole case with DJ Warris, but also with the other stuff that we've spoken about. What are your thoughts on that? Let us know in our social media platforms. I'm your girl Cynthia, but you know you can call me Gix. And with me in studio we've had
Gavin Ensland.
Pastor Gavin Ensland, right here on The Political Show, where Christ Politics is
Hot Politics.
Hot Politics.